Welcome to the 7:30 half hour of Good Morning Ozarks at 7:34. It is a Thursday, the 11th of April, 2024. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. Charlie Ingram.
Okay.
Mike Pittman's going to be with us today. I want to know where he was when he saw the eclipse on Monday.
You'll find that out in just a minute. Before I picked you up this morning,
uh-huh.
I had something terrible happen in the van.
You realize?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
If you'd have been
Mary's,
with me, you could have helped me.
Because,
well, grandkids stole the car.
Yes.
It happens. Apparently, that's grandpa's rental car agent.
Oh, I think so.
But there's no rental.
It's just free car. Thanks, Poppy.
But I have some new wipers that I put on for Mary for her birthday.
Okay.
Well, on her birthday. It was a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
But I thought there was a cicada in the van.
Mm.
And I heard it three times. And I said, how could something get in the van?
Yeah.
It was a wiper.
What was it doing?
Sounded like a cicada coming out.
As it was wiping?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So cicadas, are we going to get any?
Of course. Always get cicadas.
How many?
I have no idea.
Well, you know about the cicada thing is happening, right?
Well, sometimes they have the 7-year guys and the 17-year guys.
They're all coming
whatever,
together.
They're all coming together.
Is this that year?
Yes, sir.
See, I could tell when you said that you were not up to speed on cicadas.
I was not.
End of April.
Should be
here. Trillions.
That early?
Trillions.
Trillions. The last time that happened, I happened to be in Nashville. And you could walk on the sidewalk and you'd crunch those guys. I mean, I would because I couldn't see them, but it was.
And this year, they're going to have little Trump flags on the back of them.
Mike Pittman,
good morning.
Hey, good Mike. Morning.
Good to see you.
I tell you what.
Thank you.
We go back years ago when your kids came to town with you and your family. It's kind of a backward way to do that. But your kids were into wrestling, football, and other sports, and boy, did we have a lot of great fun.
We had a lot of fun. And, you know, it's just. And now having my boys all coach and teaching and stuff, Mickey's at the junior high and here in Branson. My son Robbie's out in Clinton, Oklahoma, and it's good to see them.
Are they coaching
taking
wrestling?
Care of kids? Yes, both of them coach wrestling. Mm-hmm. Mickey's doing wrestling and football, mm-hmm. and Robbie does wrestling and cross country.
When you see Dr. Scott again, you mentioned wrestling. I said something that probably was not very nice because he said he went to West Virginia, and I said you couldn't get into Iowa.
Yeah,
and because Keith, they are the one. I would say one of the premiers, wouldn't you say?
They are. Yeah.
And he said that is not the case. And what's great about wrestling? It's an individual sport.
Individual sport. Yeah.
So tell us. Sometimes I get confused on the weight classes in wrestling.
Well, actually, they change those every once in a while. I mean, sometimes it's 99 pounds. Sometimes it starts with 101, and so they just stagger up. But one thing that they've done well, when I wrestled in high school, it was, I think I played football around 170 pounds. I would lose down to 148 to wrestle.
Oh, my.
And they don't let you do that anymore. Whatever weight you register at, whatever weight, once they give you a certain amount of time.
Right.
And then whatever weight you are at that time, you can't go down below that.
Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing. Yeah, there was guys going down weight classes quickly, so it wasn't healthy.
Well, family, we miss this, but when you talk about family, Keith, you had it in the band families, Keith,
yeah.
At school.
Oh, sure.
Mike and I had it in the sports side as families, our wives, our kids, and we loved it.
Yeah.
And they still do a good job, but I miss some of that camaraderie, buddy.
I do too. I miss the camaraderie, and what? You know, another thing I miss.
What's that?
You know the junior high is now where
the
old stadium was.
Right.
Before they built a new stadium, and they buy seats from Kansas City.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Kansas City,
yeah.
When the atmosphere around the games when it was over at the old junior high in the old stadium,
John Earl Chase.
It was people were on their feet. It was energy. It was electric. I mean, you couldn't help but be a huge Branson Pirate fan.
That's because we were playing Ozark.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Well, today you go over there and you sit in those comfortable seats. Nobody stands up anymore.
Get up as much.
They're too comfortable.
Well, it was fun when I was announcing ball games. It was pretty good, Keith. I could just walk over from the house.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, things started to move in your life. And you were here and you were employed and there was a place called the IMAX.
Yes, sir.
And you were there.
Yep.
And it was a great place. I never heard of an IMAX. Keith, had you?
I had. Yeah, in California, I had heard of something. I don't know if they actually called it IMAX in those days, but it was big and it was exciting.
It was a fun time for you. And you were always so gracious and helpful, and whether it be the films or the IMAX or whatever, or McFarland's, The Rising Table. Just the other day, Mary got a call from her brother-in-law, and his, what is it, when you're being rehabilitated, what do you call the people that are working on you and all that?
Physical therapist.
Thank you. He had open back and open front surgery. Imagine that. They opened him on two sides. It took
him. Right straight through him.
Oh, at least. And this therapist became very close to him over the next months. She came to Branson, went to the McFarland's, asked for The Rising Table, as he had suggested, and she said she laughed so hard that she had tears in her eyes. What is it, Mike, when you're sitting there, and I've been there many times, when that table is at your chin and you don't even know it? What is it, Mike?
It only raises about a quarter inch a minute. And you know the original Rising Table? You know where that was?
I don't remember.
Is that, I believe it was the cave, the restaurant at Silver Dollar City.
Okay, told me that, yeah.
Because in 1993 is when we were building the IMAX building. And in 1995 is when we opened up the Legacy and Legend of McFarland's.
Right.
Which is named after the Legacy and Legends film at IMAX.
But it opened as Legacy. A different name, didn't it?
Yeah, Frontier Pies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And you eat the pie first. Don't miss dessert.
So I reached out to Silver Dollar City and just said, hey, we'd like to put a Rising Table in our restaurant, but we don't want to steal the idea from you if it's something that you wouldn't want to share. They said, we've wondered how come someone hadn't done it before anyway, so go right ahead. And so that's when we put them out. I think there's five in there now.
Let me tell you, my sister-in-law, who's now 90, she's kind of gullible. And watching the table rise and not watching them not say anything. Keith, when you're taking your black eyed peas and you're going straight in, and you look around at the people at the tables around, tell me what the people around look like when they're watching the table, Mike.
Oh, I mean, yeah, everyone's, because we go around, we'll go around and tell everyone, keep an eye on that table. It's going to be rising really slow and they don't know it. And but it was, there's been some fun stories. You know, we had, you remember good grief, what was it?
You're perfect for Good Morning News. We'll help you.
Yeah. Perfect. And
Mel, tell us.
No. Nope. That was just me. No, it was the show where they would come in and you would what?
Keith will tell you.
Oh well. It'll come back to me in a minute.
Here in town?
No, it was a national TV show.
Okay. Oh.
And
a candid camera.
Candid camera. Bingo! Thank you, Candid Camera.
Okay.
We reached out to them, told them what we were doing. They came out and filmed a segment.
Oh, my.
I had people from I lived in Utah 12 years, and all over the country, people call us, we saw you guys on Candid Camera.
You know what? It is, and it's so much fun. Here's what's crazy. You're sitting there knowing it's happening and still can't tell it. So you're finally looking over.
No, but
like
that's kind of hard as it comes up on you, you know, and everybody's talking and you want to say something.
Oh,
boy,
so bad.
You can't.
But I'm looking at my sister-in-law. She's just eating and talking. And all of a sudden when she looks at it and the laughter just erupts.
And it's really funny when there's a young person at the table and the table goes up to their head.
Pretty crazy.
They're under the table.
Just real quick, there was a little boy and the table's getting up high enough and he can't really reach his plate. So he gets up on his knees. And his mom says, you sit down. And he doesn't sit down. And she kind of pops him on the bottom. Just, I told you to sit down. He sits down. It's over his head. She goes, what's going on around here?
Hey, so many great stories. And I tell you what else, there are great stories. I remember in the very beginning at Mel Tillis's theater, and even before that, something called the Ozark Mountain Prayer Breakfast. And it was called the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast in the very beginning.
Uh-huh, that's right.
And that changed. And you're here
How
to talk about
was
it.
That?
Well, this is our 23rd annual prayer breakfast.
Wow.
And, you know, it's been a long time. You know, we started in 1993 with the Christian Businessmen's Committee, and we would Don Gabriel called me, Bill Keyes. Yep. Hey, we'd like to gather men that want to pray, and we'd pray for the community. We'd gather brochures from all over town, and then we'd divide those up, and everybody would pray for a few of the businesses and people in town and the guests that are coming. And it just kind of grew and grew. And we always talked about doing a prayer breakfast. But, you know, it takes a lot of coordination and it takes a lot of people to really make it work. So it was about 7 years before we actually had our first one.
Now, always around that time, there's a National Day of Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor's prayer breakfast and all those type of things. So you kind of honed in on that timing, if I'm correct.
That's correct, yes. And the Christian and Businessmen's Committee was an organization, I believe, out of Georgia, and where the headquarters was at. And they had prayer breakfast on the National Day of Prayer as an organization. We're now governed with, we're now a part of Ozark Mountain Legacy.
Correct.
And Ozark Mountain Legacy is for tax purposes and things like that, so that we can do what we do and keep it all legal. But we're going to share a lot about Ozark Mountain Legacy here in just a minute. But, you know, just as things have evolved and Cynthia Carson and their whole team of guys are on our planning committee. Cynthia's kind of taken over as our chair and organizing person. And it's just fun to see what God is doing with it and how it's growing.
Well,
do you remember where the first one was? I know the Mel Tillis place out there on 248, a couple of them, but was that
the lower
first
level
one?
Of the Radisson?
Yes. Radisson
was the first one.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sure was.
And it kept growing.
Yes,
yeah,
well,
I think we had around just under 200 in the first one.
Right.
Wow.
And we're up now that it's hitting, you know, 11, 1200 and more. And Man. And it's just,
well,
it's, now it's at the convention center and
yes.
The date is going to be?
First Thursday in May
is
the National Day of Prayer, and that's May 2nd. So
and
coming up quick.
And the website where we can find out about it and get tickets and all
OzarkMountainLegacy.org. And so make sure you make a note of that, OzarkMountainLegacy.org. You can also email, if you want to email, it's Ozark Mountain Prayer Breakfast at the, let's see, make sure I give you the right one there.
That's okay. On Good Morning Ozarks, we throw it out there, and you got to research it and make sure
we're
right.
Now, let me ask a question. Tables, how do we go about getting a table for ourselves?
Yep, tables. I want you to go to OzarkMountainLegacy.org.
Okay.
And this year is the first year that you're able to go in, get down, register, order, register for your table, and pay with a credit card right online.
Oh, that's great.
And so that's been something we've been working on for a while. We finally got it all set up this year with the new website, OzarkMountainLegacy.org. But you can also, you can call, if you would rather call, you know, a lot of people have said, well, I don't want to go online and do it. I just want to call and talk to somebody. Call 417-263-4116.
Now we need to do that again, probably, because Charlie's pen.
That's right.
Didn't
everybody
have
got your pen?
All
are you
right.
ready to go?
We're ready. Here we go.
If you want to give a call, you're going to be talking to Cynthia Carson. This goes right to her desk at Sight and Sound Theaters, 417-263-4116.
And you can leave a message, and I'm sure they'll get back to you.
That's right. And but if you want to mail in a check, you can mail checks. It's Ozark Mountain Legacy, P.O. Box 1212, and that's Branson 65615.
Do not run off the road, because all of this information will be
on KLFCRadio.com later today.
Very easy to get to. Go to KLFCRadio.com, and you can hear the rebroadcast or the podcast of Mike Pittman and what's going on. Let's talk about the prayer breakfast itself. The camaraderie we talked about with the football program and mm-hmm. wrestling and all of that. And each one was it was an entire booster program, Keith.
Right.
Well, I'm going to call the prayer breakfast an entire booster program for our community. It's really neat to sit in with a group of people that are sharing Christ together.
That's right.
And there are some that might not attend church very regularly, others that are not very spiritual at all, but there's something that happens there. Which one of you wants to answer that question?
Go for it, Michael.
You know, it's... To me, it's the community comes together. It's almost like we're kicking off the season every year, and you know when God calls people into a space, and God is moving, you can feel that. There was, I mean, you know, it was prayerful last year, worshipful. I mean, just an amazing event. But people are energized, and when they walk out, they really feel like they've done more than just come to a breakfast. That you feel the Lord moving, and the Lord's moving in this community, and the Lord's calling us to action, and you know it's 6 a.m. is when we start, so sounds early, but you know we got over there's going to be close to 400 youth, some travel more than an hour away in a school bus to arrive, so hey, folks, it's not that early. We'll have you out by 8:30.
And you're so good on the time. I talked to Bill Budnick yesterday, and I called him. He was over by, he said Palmyra, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, that is.
But he didn't mean Palmyra. He meant Poplar Bluff area down by Cape Girardeau.
Right.
And he must have been down for the eclipse or something. I don't know why. And brought up the prayer breakfast. I said, Bill, I'm wearing shorts this year. And he said, well, that's pretty good, because he always is a big supporter of the prayer breakfast.
Yep. Yeah, he really is. And that's an organizer for I don't know how many years, 17 years, something like that.
Now, you always have a great speaker, and you always have somebody sing what's going to happen this year.
Yep. Yeah, well, we've got some great music coming in. The speaker is an amazing man with an amazing story. I mean, a story of hope and forgiveness, and you know, God had to move powerfully in his life. His name is Daryl Burton. And some of you may have heard him. He's even known as the Miracle Man. But can you imagine being wrongly convicted of something? We've all been wrongly accused of things.
Yeah.
But I'm going to share something with you on here, because this is pretty powerful. Daryl was convicted of murder of a St. Louis drug dealer, and it was 1984. He was imprisoned in one of the second most dangerous, rough prisons in the country, 1984 to 2009. He sat in that prison innocent, as an innocent man. And how much would you be bitter? Would you be hateful? How would we react as any human would? And that bitterness and that hate, you know, is here. He's until he allowed Christ into his life. When he did that, he began to experience change, and he felt it. He discovered that anger and hate is just another form of prison. It's just another prison. Mm. And so many people, even today, they suffer and they're in pain. And they're in their own prisons because of hate and bitterness towards an individual, or towards just how life has treated them over the years, and that bitterness and hate is hard. But Jesus, Jesus said we must love our enemies and pray for them and forgive them. Now, until he read that truth in Luke 23:34, he didn't think it was possible. He said 10 years prior, it was 10 years prior to Daryl's exoneration that he felt emotionally and spiritually freed. God had to work something out of him, the bitterness and the hatred, in order to work something into him, the love and grace.
Wow.
And now he leads, May of 2016, he graduated from the St. Paul School of Theology in Kansas, and that internship position landed him in the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection, the largest United Methodist church in the U.S., where he continues to serve today.
Is that in Kansas City?
It's just south of Kansas. I think it's like in the peculiar area back and down through there.
I know the Resurrection Church. In fact, the people that own the Rose House, his daughter attends there. It's 135th Street.
Yeah, just amazing story.
As you're sitting here talking about this, we had sitting in these chairs about a week ago from Morningside some people from Jim Baker's ministry. And I couldn't help but get that out of my mind, Keith. Here's Jim Baker, convicted of something that happens every day, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the timeshare side.
Yep.
And there's an independent college professor took up his case with his class, not a Christian group, and realized how he was basically railroaded. Can I say that, Keith?
Yeah, that works.
And I said to Jim Baker, Jim, why don't you give those books to everybody? Do you remember what he said, Keith?
No.
I'll tell you. He said, Charlie, God will be my defender. I don't need to stand there and point out an author. I just point them to Jesus. That's what I'm hearing here.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, that'll be a powerful morning, and I'm sure he's got a lot to bring to us, so that'll be great.
He does have a lot to bring to us, and I'm gonna I'm going to go over just the registration program again. And I want you to, you can sponsor a table. The tables are, they seat eight per table. It's $400 per table.
Okay.
And this is not a fundraiser for anything here in Branson. These we're really just presenting this program, and those costs help cover the cost of renting the convention center and food. So it's just wanted you to know that that $400 just goes to providing for that evening or that morning. Now, there are opportunities. I mentioned that there's going to be almost 400 youth. You can sponsor a table for the youth because the youth come in and we don't charge them anything to come. And so we're looking for some sponsors to help. So if you can help sponsor a table of eight for $400, go in and register and just mark on the registration that you want to sponsor a table for the youth. Put your business name there, or if you just want it blank, just leave it blank. But that's OzarkMountainLegacy.org. You can do all of it in that. You can purchase one single ticket for $50. And there's also, if you wake up that morning and decide, you know, I wish I'd have done it, come on in.
We'll have.
You can purchase a table right there at the door. But the youth, you know, it happened a few years back, and one of the guys said, you know, what about the youth? Why aren't they here? And we thought, 6 a.m. and they're in school. I mean, there's no way. We're not going to get the youth here. What are you talking about? And, you know, they went to work. And they started contacting the schools and organizations. It's all of a sudden, they even arrive on the school buses. And they come. It's amazing to see the youth in this event.
What touches your heart is when I was at the event, I looked across the room, and there's my granddaughter from School of the Ozarks in their uniforms with her other friends. I'm looking, like you said, my goodness, it's 6:30 in the morning. And then table after table after table, Bradleyville and other places, and it was the superintendent of schools that moved here, and his name's leaving me right now, who had that thought for you guys. And he went to work on getting these schools, and they have just come in droves.
Yeah. And it's, I tell you what, it's, and I've been able to be the MC for the 23 years that we've done it. But when Joe Cross called the audience to pray one day, and he said, but I want you to kneel. I want you to get out of your chair and drop onto your knees. And the entire room, 1,200 people, and all those 400 youth, on their knees, bowing, arms over each other, parents with their hands on their children. It was a powerful, powerful prayer. And it was, I almost had a hard time talking
about it. Mike, let me tell you something. You happen to have the opportunity to work at a place that presents Jesus every day in sight and sound. But as you're painting this picture for Keith and I this morning, I can't help but think of the line from the scriptures concerning Esther, for such a time as this.
Amen. Yeah.
And in my 74 years of living, and Keith 77 years of living, and Herb's 80 plus, we need this so bad.
We do.
In our country. We're fractured. We're split. The Israel conflict with Hamas and what's happened with the threats of Iran and others, we need a loving God, Keith.
Yes, we do. And here's an opportunity to gather as a community and focus for a couple of hours on him, listen to how he is powerful in a gentleman's life. The Don and Dorothy Gabriel Kingdom Builder Award will be given out again this year.
Yes.
And the food at the convention center, that's awesome. And the 400 kiddos that will be there plus, and that'll just the whole thing. And you always have some great, not entertainment necessarily, but music.
Yes.
The music will be good this year, too.
Be very powerful. And it's, I'm very excited to be there. And just hope that you can get up and join us. But we need you to go over to OzarkMountainLegacy.org, get in that registration. Get it in soon, because, you know, we need to give numbers to the convention center.
Yeah,
you've
got to get a center.
Number, sure. So Mr. Pittman, I don't know if in wrestling if they have overtime, but on our program we have overtime.
Yes.
And we're going to hold you in overtime, and it's about a 3-minute or 4-minute overtime. Because we want somebody to just set their clock at 8 o'clock and miss this to hear it. We're going to come back with our good friend Mike Pittman. Thanks all for right, the job you all do in your committee, Keith.
All right, 51 degrees. Herb's going to keep us updated on the weather. It's going to be windy today, but the rain is out of here. So gusts up to 45 miles an hour. So you'll want to keep your hat on. as you're out there today. It's Good Morning Ozarks, Keith and Charlie on Life FM. Stay with me. Welcome to the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks, Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. It is 8 o'clock and we've got 51 degrees. Thank you for being with us on the 11th day of April 2024. We're talking with Mike Pittman. If you missed any of it, you can go to klfcradio.com later today, listen to the podcast, get links to the website and all of that. Aiming up for May 2nd. That is the Ozark Mountain Prayer Breakfast. It'll be at the convention center, and we talked all about it, and we'll continue to do that, Mike. So thanks for staying with us.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Give us the details. How do we get plugged in?
Okay. Ozark Mountain Prayer Breakfast. It's Ozark Mountain Legacy event. If you'll go to ozarkmountainlegacy.org, you'll be able to go in and register. Tables of eight is $400. And you can also help sponsor a youth table so that almost 400 area youth from over an almost some are an hour away can come to the event. So ozarkmountainlegacy.org and sponsor a table of eight for $400 or sponsor the youth table for $400. And you can do that online at ozarkmountainlegacy.org.
And let's get it done early to help the committee out so they're not looking. And what a great sponsorship for your business. And if you don't want name recognition, many people don't. Don't worry about that. Just give it to them, give the money, and it will be enjoyable. I tell you what, the convention center has done a wonderful job. When you have their bacon and eggs and their biscuits and their fruit.
They have done
drink,
well.
They've done a very, very good job. I'd like for you to wrap up one more time, Keith, give them the facts one more time. Then I want to close out today with something for you and Mike.
Okay. The facts are starts at 6. Now, do you start serving at 6 or the doors open at 6?
Starts at 6 a.m.
Okay.
Yes.
At the convention center. Be out by 8:30. Great speaker this year. Some music. And, of course, the award we talked about. And there'll be over 400 youth there from various schools around the area. And what a pleasure to see our young people getting input from the community in that situation. So if you'd like to sponsor a table or you want to get your tickets, do that. Now, if someone sponsors a table, then do they fill that up with some people they know, or it's just a sponsorship of the table and folks come in and sit where they how they get assigned?
Yeah, you can if you sponsor the youth table, you can sponsor all eight seats, and then we'll assign a school to set at that table.
Okay.
Or if you want to do a youth table and you fill in a couple of like yourself and somebody else, or if you want four seats of it. Just designate the four seats for the youth and four seats for you, however you want to do that.
But, Keith, as I hear your questions, and people like the track and Fritz's and others have
taken... Copy run printing, as a matter of fact.
And will take a table themselves and invite your employees. And I've seen that done with a lot of different people.
That's correct.
Guys, I would like to give you some impossibility this morning where you can say to me in both of your lives, nothing is impossible with
God.
Amen. Okay. What you just read about Daryl and being incarcerated, and there's people listening today that can relate to that, or the hope, where does it come from? Would you listen to this, please? Comes out of 2 Kings, if I'm correct. Yeah, 2 Kings 6. The disciples of the prophet said to Elisha, "The place where we're staying is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan River." Now, Keith, we talked about the Jordan River not long ago with the gentleman who was asked to come and bathe in it to get rid of his leprosy, right?
Right.
You remember how dirty he called the Jordan River?
Yeah, pretty bad.
Why didn't you come out and just say to me, put your hand over me like you should and bless me and go, hey, nya, 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 and send me back? I'm out of here. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And his servant said to him, "What are you doing? He just told you what you needed to do." And he went to the Jordan River and he dipped 7 times. Same Jordan River. "Each of us can cut some logs and make a place for us to live there." The point was he needed to have a bigger house of worship. Elisha said, "Go ahead." Then one of the disciples asked, "Won't you please come with us?" And the gentleman giving this message last night brought up the point that these were young men, like the students are talking about, and asked Elisha to go to minister to them. And they went. So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan and began to cut down the trees. I can see Keith, and I can see my friend Mike. As one of them, this would be me, was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. Would one of you, Keith, you're good at sound effects, would you give the sound of that axe head into the water?
Plop.
Now, these are not little noodles or styrofoam. What's an axe head do, Keith?
It sinks.
Mike, but you've got a problem. The axe head fell into the water and you cried, oh no, it was borrowed.
Oh, you borrowed that from Charlie, Mike. Now what?
I'll have to axe him what to do.
The man of God asked, where did it fall? And when he showed Elisha the place, Elisha cut off a piece of wood and threw it into the water at that place and made the axe head float. Elisha said, pick it up. The disciples reached in and picked it up. Those are miracles. Have you ever lost something that you said, oh my goodness sakes alive, I've lost it, into the water, into the dirty, filthy Jordan? Mm-hmm. Elisha said, hold on a minute, puts in the stick and God provides. This is what you all do at the prayer breakfast.
That's right.
You take an axe head and it swims at the convention center. Mike Pittman and Cynthia and all of your team, Bill Keys and others. Who's my gentleman? Is Edward Jones now? Sanaya. Come on. Don't look at me like that. He works for Edward Jones. Xavier.
Xavier.
Oh, yeah, over in Hollis.
Where'd you go on me, buddy? I blew the whistle and you weren't there.
I wasn't floating.
So many people that are so kind and welcoming there. And from the time you walk into the door to the time you leave, don't miss it. Mr. Pittman, on behalf of Good Morning Ozarks, Keith would like to give you a goodbye.
Well, Mike, you come back and see us again, and we look forward to seeing you on May 2nd at the Convention Center. But before you leave, give a quick idea about what we'll see at Sight and Sound right now. Last year.
Perfect. Sight and Sound Theaters, our second season, our closing season of Esther. And Queen Esther to me, Charlie, I think it's one of the most powerful shows we've ever had on stage. From start to finish. And you mentioned, for such a time as this, I mean, they're trying to kill the Jewish people. Eliminate them.
Exactly.
And look at the world events right now. Look at what you know, between Iran and, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable to know how powerful this message is on stage. And
now, this is the last year for Esther.
We'll go through October 5th.
Do you do the Christmas then?
Yeah, we'll shut down almost 4 weeks.
Right.
And then bring in Miracle of Christmas.
Awesome.
Yeah.
In our own country, the anti-Semitism, Minnie was with us. Minnie, is that right? Do I have the right
Mimi.
Name? Mimi was
yeah,
with us.
Yeah, Mimi. And that event's coming up, the Holocaust Remembrance Week here in Branson.
If you want to go back and read about annihilation, Haman felt he was going to wipe them all out. He had a plan. But don't try to trump God, okay? Yeah. And as the story unfolds, I just love giving this example, if you bear with me, please. So the king calls in Haman, and he says, hey, he was reminded about what Mordecai did, Keith, at the gate where they were going to try to kill the king. Mm-hmm. And so in Mordecai's great way, he sent word to the king, hey, these guys are trying to zap you. And they remembered that. So can you see him sitting at the table, and there's Haman there, and he's starting to brag about this guy. The guy that helps with his kingdom, the guy that helped the king. And Haman just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. What should we do? And then Haman gets excited. Well, to get your horse and get your crown and get, and we should lead the horse through the town and let everybody worship this guy. The king said, great idea. Would you do me a favor?
Do that for Mordecai, because he's the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's that.
And Haman's ego goes,
I want to go back with Haman to the house. I want to go back to the house with his wife and family says,
Helen comes in, throws his hat on the table and says, you ain't going to believe what
You're not going to believe what happened. And guess what I have to do tomorrow?
Oh,
I've got to lead Mordecai.
Around the, it was my idea.
For such a time.
For such a time as this.
Yep.
And then, folks, Esther says, I'm going to have a little dinner. And then what happens? Haman finds out it's over. So what's he do? I can see the picture of the love seat or the couch, and she's sitting on it, and he throws himself for mercy on her, right? Mm-hmm. And the king walks in and says, hey, what are you doing over there with my wife? And then it's all unfolded. And guess what? In the old South times, they get their comeuppance, don't they, Keith?
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
And not only that, and you read it, it gets a little dramatic with the 10 sons later, but God is victorious, just like today. Let's not miss that.
That's right.
In the midst of the storms we're in today, God is victorious.
That's right.
Mike, do me a favor. I feel prompted for this today. Would you mind leading us in prayer for the prayer breakfast for our country, Sight and Sound, our employees, our families, and people that are not laughing this morning? You know, you and I laugh and kid, but somebody is not laughing today.
That's right.
And so if you do that, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, Father God, we come to you right now. We just thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the many, many blessings that you pour upon us. We pray, Father, that we'll stand up and answer your calling. Prepare us, Father, for such a time as this. Prepare us, Father God, to be your army, to be your disciples. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share the prayer breakfast with this community and with the Ozarks and with this region. I know, God, that you've called this area for something special. You've called people here. You've moved people here for a specific purpose and a specific time. Father God, we just pray that as we come together, that we'll honor you through this morning. Let's pray that you'll be with Daryl. Give him safe travels as he comes here. And just bless this audience with the opportunity to hear how you moved in his heart, how you took the hatred and took that pain away. But you took him out of not only the prison, but the prison he was in, the hate in his heart. And you replaced it, Father God, with love and grace. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities we have here in the Ozarks and in this country. We pray for those that are listening this morning that are hurting. Perhaps they're somewhat in their own prisons. Bring them home, God. Let them feel your presence in their hearts. Lead them, Father. Bring them to their knees at your cross. God, we just pray for our community, our businesses here, so many businesses here in this community, Father, that stand up that for truth and love. And I think that's why so many people and so many visitors are drawn to come to Branson, because it's an area where they feel that. They want their children to experience that and know the love that they have. Father God, we just thank you so much for the many blessings. Thank you for the message of Sight and Sound in this story. Thank you for Glenn Eshelman and Shirley that you laid on their hearts so many years ago, that they were diligent and followed through even through the tough times, Father God, that they honored you through that. We just look forward to the other shows and productions that are going to be coming here in Branson and in our Lancaster theaters. We just thank you, Father God, for the many, many blessings. Lead us and direct us on this day. We praise you and love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son,
yes,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.